Well, guys, my name's Nathan. I'm the pastor here at Genesis Boyne, and welcome to week two of our Behind the Music series. Now, for those of you who weren't here last week, I'll give you a little bit of an idea of where this series came from. The idea of this series came from the fact that we come in, we just sang a couple of songs. We're probably going to sing 5-6 songs each week. And sometimes, I would imagine each of us find ourselves going, what are we talking about? Like, what is that word? Like, last week we used the hymn, Are You Washed in the Blood? And it's like, when you start singing, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? That's a little creepy if you don't know what you're talking about. And so, like, what are the words that we sing? Do they have significance? And a better question, is there biblical foundation to back that up? And so when we came down to it, as we chose our 30 songs, we had to make sure that each of these songs has a firm biblical backing. And this series is just kind of going behind the music to examine some of those lyrics and then figure out where the scripture comes that inspires those songs. And we found that all 30 of our songs, front to back, fit at least one of 5 categories. And most of them fit multiple categories. And so we're going through those 5 categories. In week one, the category was, got to start off with, the greatness of God. And how great is our God? He's greater. He's greater. And the thing is, that's a super awesome way to kick things off. And then today, we move from the greatness of God to the brokenness of man. And that's a whole different thing. Like, that's a pretty quick turnaround in our minds when we start trying to grasp an almighty God. An all-powerful God who created the universe, an omnipresent God who's everywhere at once. And then we look in the mirror and we see ourselves. Like, that's a huge disconnect that we have going on. And I know in our small groups, what we've been doing after Abe preached, we have been spending the last couple of weeks sharing our testimonies with each other. Just the ways that God has changed our lives, who we were before, what happened, where we have been since then. And I can tell you, we have a bunch of messed up people. Like, that's just life. That's all of us, that we have each sinned, that we have each run into this problem where we've hurt ourselves and we've hurt others through the decisions that we've made. And the thing is, we start kind of focusing on, like, how hard it is with the mortality that we have, that with the fallibility, the fact that we mess up. And our worship reflects that. Our worship helps us look at the fact that I've got this brokenness, I've got this darkness inside of me, and what do I do with it? And it also, it helps us, I mean, ask, okay, what do we do with our hurt, with our pain, with our doubt? What do we do with our shame for the things we've said, for the things that we've done? So let's start off with the song that we actually concluded with last week, because it's a wonderful intersection between how great God is and then the struggles that we have with our own lives. And it's a song called Greater. And Barr Miller actually wrote this song, and I read a good article on kind of his inspiration for the song Greater. And he said, I grew up with a legalistic background where the harder you try, the better God likes you. So even though it was all about grace, there was always more things you could do to just make life a little bit better. A couple of years ago, a dear friend reminded me that there is nothing in our life that we can do to make Christ love us any more than he already does. And it's like, that's powerful. And the way that I've always heard that explained is God doesn't love a future version of you. He loves you today. Who you are, where you are, where you've been, what you've said, he loves you today. He's not saying, you know, if Nathan would just read one more chapter of the Bible each day, then I will love him. You know, if Jenny would say one less cuss word each week, then maybe I would accept. She's got a potty mouth. You just have to deal with it. Like, if she'd just say one less cuss word, then I would truly accept her. It's like, no, God loves you today. That's the brilliance of it. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter where you've been, he loves you and is ready right now to accept you with wide open arms. And here's what he wants you to do. Bring your tired, bring your shame, you bring your guilt, you bring your pain, you bring your doubts, you bring your fears, you bring your hurt, and you bring your tears. This is how Matthew puts it. Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are weary, all of you who are carrying those heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I am terrible about this, that I just harbor so much inside of me, that I do something bad, which happens a lot, and then I just kind of carry that around with me of like, I'm just a terrible person, and why am I doing this, and I've got all these emotions swirling around. And God's like, dude, hey, right here, bring it to me. If you're weary, if you are tired, if you are carrying heavy burdens, bring it to me. And in the end, I continue to realize that my brokenness, part of that helps me to realize how much I need God. So I continue to go back to saying, God, how I need you. Oh, how I need you. And we find ourselves like looking. And when we begin to look for God, when we go back to seeking God, not trying to do things ourselves, we find he really isn't difficult to locate. I mean, last week we talked about he is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. So you don't have to go very far to find him. And you can say, Lord, I find you in the seeking. And Lord, I find you in the doubt. Lord, I find you in the mourning. And Lord, I seek you every single day. Psalm says it this way, those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. He's everywhere. He's not abandoning you. He's standing right there going, bring it. Please bring it. Bring the burdens that you have. He's not going to abandon a single person who is searching for him. All we have to say is, oh, how I need you. God, how I need you. God, how I need you. And David says it this way in Psalms. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. And that's, oh, how I need you. My soul thirsts for you. Oh, how I need you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I mean, he's just saying in different words every time, God, how I need you. Oh, how I need you. God, I need you. And as we start finding ourselves saying that, God, I need you. I can't do this alone. God, please just give me faith. And it's funny how songs tie together once you start really looking at them and dissecting them. Because this one, Oh How I Need You, leads right into Give Me Faith, which starts off with, I need you. God, I need you to soften my heart. I need you to break me apart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you are shaping my life. It comes from Ezekiel, where it says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your stony, that stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. So we need God to soften our hearts. It is a stony, stubborn heart that we continue to deal with, that we continue to fight against. But there's that tender, responsive heart that we can have. And we go back to John 9, the story of Jesus healing the blind man. And the Pharisees are going, what's going on here? How did this work? And the blind man basically just says, I don't know. Here's what I can tell you. Here is the fact. Here is my testimony. I was blind, but now I can see. I need you to open my eyes so I can see that he is shaping my life. What do we see? We see that brokenness. We see the fact that he is working to shape our lives. And what do we, like, we go back to that question. We've got this brokenness. What do we do when we know, when we see the darkness that is in our hearts? Because the thing is, once you see that, it is really hard to unsee. It's really hard to just, oh, well, I can just push that. No, that didn't really happen. It's there. How do we fix the dark? We need the light. And the thing is, light continues to be a prevalent theme throughout the history of Christian music. This light that we need, the light that can light up the darkness. I need you to pierce through the dark, to cleanse every part of me. John says it this way, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. We need that light that can defeat the darkness. We need that light, that glorious light, so we can go where it shines. It'll break the dawn, it'll crack the sky, and it will make a way, it will make a path before us. So, what is that light? What is that light that could cleanse every part of us? What is a light that can make the way right before us? What is the light that can defeat darkness? John says it this way. Jesus spoke to the people once more, and he said, I am the light of the world. If you will follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. It's making that way right before us. It breaks that dawn. It cracks the sky wide open. Light defeats darkness. That's the way physics work. Darkness does not defeat light. Light defeats darkness. Darkness is just an absence of light. How do we get rid of the absence of light in our lives? It's right there. I am the light of the world. All we have to do is admit, like Give Me Faith says, God, I'm broken inside. I'm broken, and I will give you my life. All that I am, I'm ready. I surrender. 1 John says it this way. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive those sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. You just admit it. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. I'm living in the dark. You admit that darkness. And then you just have to acknowledge that next part. You are the light, Jesus. You are the hope. You are joy. You are the path to salvation. And then, like that, you're on a new journey. It's a learning process. It is a journey. It is not the final destination. And that's something where a lot of us get a little bit confused. We say those words, or we make that decision, and then we see the journey as the destination and we're done. But it's not. It is a learning process. It is a relationship that you build. It is a path that you walk on. And so over the course of time, it's like Grader says, that you are learning to run freely. You don't get to run right off the bat. You're a baby. You crawl, and then you toddle, and then you walk. You are learning to run freely. You're learning to understand just how God sees me. And in the end, when we do that, it will make us love him more and more and more and more. 2 Corinthians says it this way. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Old life, gone. A new life has begun. A new life where we're learning to run freely. We're learning to love him more and more. And we get a call on our lives. We have a duty. We have a purpose. We have a goal that we are moving to. And it is to let my life before your glory, woven in your threads of grace. Love that picture. There's just these threads of grace that we are in a greater tapestry that is the picture of the kingdom of God. And our lives are set to be for his glory. Psalm says it this way. Not to us, O Lord. No, not to us. But to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Guys, we have a light. We have the opportunity to have that light. But that light, we do not shine for ourselves. We shine that light for the glory, for the majesty, and to magnify the greatness of our God. Let's pray.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so we are ready for our family meeting, so if you could grab a seat or take your conversations out into the hall. Either one. So, as you guys already know, and there we go. So, As you guys know, my name's Nathan, and I just wanted to go ahead and get us kicked off. This is super exciting because this is the first time that we have actually, Jeff, you can come up here too, and Abe, wherever you're at.
Abe?
This is the first time that we have had elders for a family meeting. And so this allows me the opportunity not to have to lead the whole thing because I am not the person who actually leads the church. The elders lead the church, and I do my best to support the elders in that endeavor. And so each one of them has a specific area that they're going to be covering, and we're going to be starting off with Bob.
Well, thank you, Nathan. Finances is one of those pieces that people don't like to talk about, so I'll try to keep it brief. We basically, on the budget graph, or the comparison income versus expenses, we made slightly more than we spent, which is good. We currently have in our ready fund about $20,000. There's been only one deduction from the ready fund, and that was with Nathan's moving expenses. So we'd like to see that grow so that when time comes for the building, which is being addressed later, we'll have an opportunity to move forward and take a step with some backing, with some financial backing. So in the budget breakdown for 17 versus 18, you can see the staff costs are a little bit less. During last year, we had some changes in expenses because we had Nathan, plus we had an interim, plus we had Jamie. So with all that combination, we're spending a little bit less because we have a single person this year. Ministry is a little bit higher. Building, shared, and giving all relatively run about the same. So one of the chances we've had over this last year is to work with the finance team at Genesis because we are one church, one checkbook, one set of books. We worked with them to try and segregate the Boyne City expenses so that we can report them individually. And they've been very amenable to that, and they're working on some accounting processes and changes anyways. So the other thing from a giving perspective, and I'll make a plug for the online giving, is that that's a very easy thing to do now. It can be a recurrent gift so that you don't have to think about it. I know when I say I'm going to write a check, it doesn't ever happen. So, or I mean well, but it doesn't occur right away. But planned giving can help immensely, and it'll put our counters out of business, so, which you'd like, wouldn't you? Okay. But thank you. One of the other things this year that we're working with them is if there's ministries in the Boyne City area, we can have an opportunity to influence some of the giving so that the corporate giving that's identified to four or five major ministries can be done with some Boyne City specific ones as well. So we're looking forward to that coming up in this year. Thank you. Were there any questions on?
Oh, sorry.
We don't have questions. Oh, we don't. Okay. See me if you have questions after.
Good. Thank you, Bob. I will say one thing I'm so thankful for. A lot of you guys know I've been an elder here for a few years now, and having Jeff and Bob on the team has been just great. So thank you to these two for joining the team. Really helpful. So as Bob said, for those that aren't clear on one thing, I want to just, can I interject one quick thing on finances? For those that aren't clear, he mentioned the giving piece. I don't want to steal your thunder here, Bob, but this is something that was unclear to me. The church gives 10% of what the church receives to other ministries. That's what that giving thing is up there. So those that don't know how that works exactly.
Yeah,
so,
and that's things like Crisis Pregnancy Center, Man of Food Pantry, different areas
orphan helpers,
like that.
Things like that. Yep. As a church, we give. We believe that tithing as a church is model, so the people tithe to the church, and then the church tithes to other ministries. So, okay, I'm going to talk about buildings for a minute. So I'm not, I want to just say thank you to Marvin and Bob Babowski. They've been kind of the building guys going and looking at buildings, which has been great. They've looked at like 10 spots, right, something like that in the area. Some of you may have known, we got kind of another step down the direction recently with the old Taylor Rental building here in town, and had a team that went and looked at it, and we're still praying about that and thinking about whether that would be a good site. The point is we've looked at a number of locations. That was one of the big things. Nathan's brought this up numerous times. When Nathan did the interviews a year ago when he came on staff, everybody, like almost to a man, everyone said, we need to get out of this school. And so We've looked at several locations. We have not necessarily, nothing's been, and we had the Holiness Camp was the other thing we got closer down the road with. That was in the early summer of last year, which kind of fell through. We'll see where we go with Taylor Rental or other facilities. If you see a facility, please call Marvin or Bob, or you can call any of us, and we'll get the ball rolling on that. If you think of something like, geez, has anybody thought about this building? Point is, we've looked at a lot of buildings, and we're trusting that God, though, will provide the building when he's ready to provide something. Right now, the school's been gracious with us. We have a contract here through August, and so we're not, like, going to lose our space next week. And the relationship is still fairly positive with the school. It's been such a blessing to be in this school, you know, and so we're so thankful to the school for providing us with a space here. And when God's ready for us to move, we trust that will happen, but we are actively looking to try to create something, try to get into another location as quickly as possible. When that is, we're trusting God. So the other question that comes up, many people have asked me, is if we want to buy something, like Taylor Rental, for example, can Genesis Boyne buy a building? Because didn't Genesis Petoskey, are they building a big building? And would that wipe out the idea of having a second Genesis building? So to address that, I'll say this. Genesis has the cash flow to support more of a loan than just the building in Petoskey. That was raised mostly with pledges. There is a loan on that building, but most of the money was pledged money from giving. So the cash flow isn't an issue. The only thing that would potentially become an issue is the appraisal. There's, you know, in a loan, there's always two things. There's, do you have the money to pay for it? And are you getting, you know, if the bank has to take it back for some reason, are they going to go get hammered because it's not, you know, if you buy a building and pay $400,000 for it and it's worth $100,000, that wouldn't work. So that would be the thing that would get in the way. Or if we try to, you know, buy a $4 million building, no, we can't do that. But I think a reasonable facility for this place, if something comes up to buy, the cash would, and we had to take out a loan. We don't believe that Genesis Petoskey's loan with the bank would get in the way of Genesis Boyne getting a building, as long as we buy something that's, you know, appraised, the loan-to-value ratio is okay, and we're not trying to buy something that's outside of our means to pay for. We pay about $20,000 a year in rent for this space, roughly. I think that's in that range, right? So we can support something in that range on a loan payment without any increased giving at all. Okay, the last thing I'm asked to talk about, again, is the Ready Fund, which Bob talked about a little bit as well. Those that have been here a while remember, we had a Christmas giving a couple years ago toward a Ready Fund that would be ready to we're ready to move when the Lord leads us to move, and that would be a down payment on something or a fix-up cost. That's about $20,000 is what's in that right now, over $20,000, and we're saving that for, you know, hopefully soon when the Lord leads us to a facility, just like Bob said. And that's about all I have to talk about. So, Jeff? Oh, you're up next. Sorry.
All right, I'm next. I got Mike. Jeff can have it. All right, so my thing is really talking about the vision and kind of looking at the things that we've done last year. And I'm just going to give you guys a quick plug on, this is a like 3-minute encapsulation. We talked about this for about 30 minutes. We spent a whole service on this January 31st. So if you want to dig a little bit deeper into where we've been in outreach and small groups and various areas like that, our December 31st sermon is a really good example of kind of recapping last year. But it's been a year. Like, I mean, it's been, think about where we've been since next week is the one gathering, since where we've been since then. Got a new pastor, got a new vision. We now have an elder team. Our Christmas Eve service was one of our biggest services in our church's history. I mean, we even over the last 6 months have grown. Like, we're now able to compare numbers against numbers a little bit more recently. We've grown 3% in the last 6 months. So, like, and we've grown 3% over the six months before that. So we're continuing to see, I mean, we're not booming by any means, but God is continuing to bless. We're continuing to see a few more families here and a few more families there, and just a nice, steady growth, which is highly encouraging. And for us, the biggest thing that we've had is in the new vision, is the new vision. And the new vision is to be a contemporary church that engages families through fellowship, discipleship, and outreach. So it really marks who we are in the community. We are the contemporary church. There is no other contemporary church in Boyne at this moment. We're engaging families. That's our target demographic, families, families with children. So children's ministry is a big part. We're going to talk about that in a second, through fellowship, discipleship, and outreach. And so it's through the last 6 months, as we've been working through this, we're 6 months into it now, we're already starting to see some good results, and I just want to be able to communicate those to you. We've done about 17 weeks of small groups, and we're averaging almost the perfect sweet spot number. We're averaging 8 people per group, per meeting. So it's like that perfect size, that it's not too small, that it feels a little weird, and it's not too big that you're just in this giant group and you're kind of losing who everybody is. That is the perfect sweet spot. So we've had 3 to 4 groups running 17 weeks now. We're averaging 8 per group. Prayer. We just had a prayer night in January where we just got together and prayed. We have about 10% of our congregation who comes every morning at 10:30 back into the hall back there, and we just pray together. We just get our hearts ready for service, and that's paying dividends. If any of you guys want to join that, you are more than welcome to it. We just take 15 minutes, pray for the day, pray for all of you guys as you're coming in. Worship. You guys have been hearing a lot about worship. The whole series is about worship. We now have 30 songs, and they are on Spotify. So if you want to go on Spotify, it's actually on the bulletin, little spot right there. Just look for Genesis Boyne Worship. Those are the 30 songs that we are singing, getting you guys more comfortable with them, and you can tell a difference. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but you guys are singing louder because over half of the congregation is on Spotify listening to those when they're driving in their car and like cooking and all the various things that you do. You're listening to those songs, you're engaging with them. When you get here on Sunday, you're singing them to a degree that we're just like, this is awesome. Like, it's great to be able to come in and worship like that. Setup, what we did was we created kind of a setup Bible so anybody can jump in. It's a huge detail. Donna Prevost worked on it, picture book, that everything has a place and everything in its place type thing that you can look, and there's just this cool little every single step that you can take. It's there. So we've just been working through these verses, and finally, I know I'm talking really fast, but we promised that we would get the children within 15 minutes, and so that's why I'm talking so fast. Children's. Children's is the most exciting one. As we said, we're looking for those families. Families, by proxy, have children, specifically young children. And so children's is something that we came in 6 months ago and said, this is the priority. We've got to get this thing up and stable and running. And I said, our church has grown overall 3%. But in the last 6 months, our children's ministry has grown by 30%. So it is crazy. Like, people have started communicating that, and people with children have started bringing a lot of children, which is really good, but also means that we need more children's volunteers. So if you are alive and you don't hate children, if you would consider volunteering for the children's ministry, we would absolutely love that. You can mark that. You can either talk to me or talk to Bob. His wife is in charge of it. Lindsay's right there. Or you can mark it on the back here. I'd like to serve in, and children's is one of those. We would love it to continue because, hey, the more we get in, the more the children love it, the more they invite their friends, the more the parents want to come. It is a building process, and it's great to be able to see our children's ministry really flourishing. So in the end, I'll just conclude with the fact, I know, I've heard over the past year, our church isn't exactly perfect. I don't know, that probably shouldn't come as any surprise to any of you guys, but sometimes we come and we're like, well, the church should be perfect. But everybody's perfect is a little bit different, which makes things a little wonky. One of the things that I can tell you is, first place, no church is perfect. Just a nice reminder for you guys. And second is, that doesn't mean that we're not continuing to try. Look at all of the progress that we made in 2017. That's a ton of progress. We are still working towards goals. Bob talked about finance goals. Abe talked about building goals. We've got relationship goals. Like, we have so many different pieces that we want to continue to take the church to the next level. As we let this concrete settle, as things get solidified, then we start building on it. Then we start getting in and making things even better. So that's our goal is 2018, to push to make the church even more stable, develop leaders. That's the big goal that we're looking at, is to, now that the leaders even understand what they're doing, they have those defined parameters, that we can start to develop the next generation of leaders that will replace these leaders so they don't burn out. And our third goal, really to love the community. our outreach. We have done so much, over a dozen different projects, outreach projects into the Boyne community in the last 6 months. And we have a ton lined up through our small groups mainly, and then through just the passion of various people in our church being like, hey, I want to go out and do this. Is it okay? And I'm like, is it okay to go do outreach? Yes, it's okay to go do outreach. Go do all the outreach you want. Just, that's awesome. So the thing is, we will continue to do that, push out into the community, and overall, do things like this. Be accountable to you guys. So if you have questions, you are more than welcome to ask them, because we are a family. So building that family with each other. And then last up, Jeff.
Wow, can you believe Nathan's almost been here a year, March 20th? Thank Nathan for his time here. It really, you know, he brings some talents here that we really needed in the organization and stuff like that. And this is part of all that, just the transparency and the, you know, information that we want to bring back to you guys as a congregation and help us to build a good church, good solid church. And we need all your inputs, by the way. But there's we're going to talk about pastor accountability, and I guess is there a chart? Okay, we got a pie chart here, and this just kind of shows where Nathan's spending his time. And as a way to just kind of be accountable and take a look at this and say, hey, you know, is this where we, you know, where we want Nathan to be spending his time? Is it appropriate? Is it, you know, the right pieces in the right spots here? Is this time being used efficiently and well in the way that we want to do it as a church? So anyway, most of his time is spent in Bible study and sermons. We have all the small groups in his preparing his sermons, preparing his sermons. 25% is pastoring, and that is, you know, going out in the community and you know, might be visiting the sick or just meeting the needs, meeting with people in the congregation with their needs, you know, trying to meet their needs. Administration is 23%. It's a lot of local administration, the local administration of the church, but also reaching out and working with Petoskey as well and what they do. We got a big push to coexist, co-create as, you know, working with the, what's the word? Right, exactly. Help me out, Nathan, straighten me out. But anyway, we're trying to co-create things together, you know, work with Genesis Petoskey and using their talents that they have and our talents and so anyway, that's Sundays. There's a certain amount of time just in prep for Sundays, and then the small pieces, miscellaneous. And one of the things I would like to comment that I just learned, heard Nathan talk about, was really exciting to me, was just getting out into the community and reaching out to some of the other pastors in the community, the Pastoral Association, and working with them to work as a group, learning from each other, and also doing some things in the community that will help the whole community, a Christian community. I thought that was a really neat thing. So anyway, that's kind of that.
Awesome. Thank you.
A little more than 2 minutes.
That's all right. I have a mic. So just to close, I just wanted to say thank you guys for staying. I appreciate it. Jeff, you're going to need that mic because you're praying. Somebody's going to need that mic because they're praying. All right.
Very good.
I just want to say thank you guys. Thank you guys for staying, for being part of the family. If you have any questions, everything is open. Now, if you ask a question, just be prepared for the answer. But you guys can feel free to ask whatever you want. You're part of the family. If you want to know, well, how much of the budget is going into the children's ministry, or how many buildings have we looked at, or what is it, you know, any of those questions, you know, why does he spend 25% of his time doing administration? Just feel free. This is our church. This is our family. You feel free to ask those questions. And also, I just want to continue to encourage you guys. We have some great momentum here. We really do. Seeing the growth, seeing the stability of the ministries, we have some great momentum here. And I just want to encourage you guys, because we're all a part of that momentum. God is blessing our church as we seek him, as we try to follow him. And so I know it's a big overview. It was a lot of information to pull in like 15 minutes. But I just want to thank you guys for being here and thank you guys for who you are and just say I really appreciate each and every one of you. And I appreciate the elders. Like, this is it's a huge thing to have four guys in there working together and really making the church sing. And so I just appreciate it. You can feel free to grab any of these guys at any time, ask them any question, let them know if you have a concern, anything like that. So I just want to thank you guys for being here, and I want to thank you guys for being Genesis Point. So let's pray.